Rich Jones alongside Jeremy Ratliff. And we're also monitoring power outages, power restoration. Jeremy, you've been following that storyline throughout the morning. What are you seeing now?
Absolutely. Let me actually go ahead and refresh so I get the latest information, because, Rich, it's been kind of bouncing all over the place. Right now, it looks like there's 32 active electric outages, customers affected above 10,000, below 11,000 right now. So definitely more than what we saw a few hours ago, but in that 10,000-ish range right now.
And that's with JEA, and we're joined live by CEO Jay Stowe. And we wanted to first of all, bring you on and see how y'all are handling things so far. Do you have an urgent need, or are you out in the field trying to work on these power outages, or are crews safely in place waiting until the storm passes?
No, we have crews that are out in place, and they're working on responding and trying to get everything turned back on and back to normal as quickly as we can.
Jay, we've been watching the numbers fluctuate throughout the morning. Are we seeing individual outages, and is it kind of like whack-a-mole where the crews get out there in areas where we have the hardest hit, or what's the process?
Yeah, so we have, you're right, there has been, as the storm has moved through, we see fluctuations. It's been overnight, it's been as low as a couple of thousand people, and now it's up about 10,800 or so, so just over 10,000. And it is the nature of a storm as it blows through here. We'll have outages, and we send people and respond to them as quickly as we can.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what we've been kind of seeing throughout the morning here. We've been seeing the numbers jump up and down and up and down. You touched on that a little bit. Do you anticipate numbers to continue to go up and down as the day and storm progresses?
We do. And so what happens sometimes is that if an outage occurs and it's on a major line with a lot of people out, when we go fix that, then all of those that are on that line come back online. You phrased it as whack-a-mole. The thing that takes longer and is slower is when there's individual houses. If a tree falls on a service line, then that takes longer to repair. It takes longer for us to get there, and it makes a less of an impact on those outage numbers. And so that's why you see them fluctuate in large part from several thousand at a time coming back on. But our crews are really good at what they do, and we've got people out. We'll work around the clock till we get everybody back on.
And in regards to folks without power, I know sometimes you want to be notified if people don't have power. This is one of those unique situations where power outages, of course, were expected going into today. What is your message to folks that may lose their power and they're waiting for that to return during the storm?
In all likelihood, we know that the power is out because of the systems that monitor what's going on. But people can go on to JEA.com is the most efficient method to go on to notify the outages. That works the best for us and helps us be able to keep up with the system the best way.
And if folks, if their phone is working, they lose power, but they're still able to access the internet on the phone, where do you recommend that they go to just kind of get an update on that?
JEA.com is the best source of information. The outage map that you have been looking at and referring to will give updates on where the crews are and what's happening.
Yeah. And indeed, if the power does go out, battery-powered radio will continue to be that source for up-to-the-minute information and bring you restoration efforts as well. Jay Stowe, the CEO of JEA, is with us for a few minutes here, and I know the crews are busy in the field. At some point over the next few hours, who and what ultimately is the decision that's made on whether or not it is unsafe for them to be out in the elements? What is that kind of threshold, and who's making that call?
Yeah, we have a system in place, and the first of all, the crews can make that call themselves. If they feel unsafe, they can stop because it is important that we keep everybody safe. Generally, if the winds stay below 35 miles per hour, then they can continue to work, but it is a case-by-case basis. And then if it stays high above 35 across the entire system, then the management leadership team will pull people in. Right now it is case by case because it's so widespread that the storms the winds are different in different places, so they can make that call themselves.
Got it. And as we look over the rest of the day, Jay, among the many layers of this storm that are going to be challenging, Chief Meteorologist Mike Burrish was recently up here talking with us about this concern, is a little bit later into the day, after the center of the storm is north of our latitude and the winds then come in out of the south, we'll face the potential threat of flooding into the downtown area along the St. John's River and some of its tributaries. Is that another layer of concern then for you all with some of this wastewater treatment facilities, and how are you preparing those in advance of, so we don't see any sort of issues there?
Anytime there's flooding like that, it's a concern both for our water system, the pump stations. It's also a concern about access to sites. It gets difficult for us to get trucks and equipment to different places on our system. And so we have to keep an eye on that. We have taken a lot of steps to make the system stronger than it was 6 or 7 years ago, with backup generators and spare pumps. And we're in much better shape than we were just a few years ago because of the work on resiliency that we have been doing for a number of years. And we have an expert team on all of our systems, both in the call center and the water system and electric system, responding to outages to get things back to normal as quickly as we can.
Are there even lessons learned from 6 weeks ago with Ian?
There are. Every time there's an event, we learn a little bit more about how to better respond. We use these lessons every time. In fact, some of the pumps and generators that we put out that are portable, we left them in place because we knew there was a possibility of other storms. So that has allowed us to be ready even more quickly for this storm.
If you could set expectations for anyone who may lose power, and this is one of those situations where, depending on what the winds are doing, and again, depending on direction and where you are, you may lose power, then it comes back, it may go out again. Generally speaking, is today the most inconvenient day, where hopefully by the end of today, once the duration is through, the worst of it at least, that maybe even by tonight, so we could see power restored for most everyone?
Well, we have to see what happens with the storm. We're still in the middle of it, not even to the height of it yet. Over the next couple of hours, both the flooding and the rain and the wind will help us be able to tell what that is. So what I would say is urge people to stay in if they don't need to go anywhere, and to be patient as we do the best we can to restore power. So keep in mind that when we have 10,000 people, is a lot of people to have and a lot of customers to have without power, but we serve 510,000. Right. So the vast, vast majority of our customers remain on and will remain on, and we will continue to respond as best we can.
If anyone is venturing out, and the advice really is to stay home unless you're a first responder, and in this case, our utility crews certainly are the first responders. If we do come up on a truck or anything, for the safety, what's the best advice you have for folks who may be venturing out and driving through those neighborhoods?
Well, slow down and move over. Let the crews work safely. The more interruptions they have, the longer it is for you or your neighbors. And it's dangerous when people are running through the roads. There's not as much visibility with the rain. It's already a dangerous place for all of our folks that are in the field. So just stay safe and stay away from down power lines, and stay away from the crews so they can do their jobs.
Jay, they ever convince you to go up in one of those bucket trucks in the peak of a tropical storm?
Luckily, we have really brave, smart, qualified people that do that, and I'm gonna let them do their job because they're really good at it.
No undercover boss thing for JEA CEO.
No, sir.
No, we appreciate and value you, and stay in close contact with us, Jay. And I'll be in touch with Karen here over the next several hours. If you do have a message you want to pass along, this is the best number to get us at. It's an open line for you if you do need to get through. Let us be that mouthpiece for the community, okay? Thanks to you, and especially to the crews in the field, the guys and gals who are out there. They do phenomenal work, and it's very inconvenient when the power goes out. I get it. We've all been there, but know that they are working their darndest to get it back on. Jay, thank you.
Thank you very much for what y'all are doing to get message out, too.
Thanks. Thank you. Stay safe. 9:10, Jacksonville's Morning News Extended. Rich Jones alongside Jeremy Ratliff. We have a team of reporters in the First Alert Weather Center. I see Lucia Vitti, Shafalika Bhatnagar. Benjamin Fritkus is still here. Scotty is with us. Jim has been pitching in left and right, taking photos. We're staying on top of the developments with Tropical Storm Nicole. And we continue to see some pretty significant banding of rainfall.